I invite you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're going to take a couple of weeks. I don't know whether it'll be 2 weeks or 3 weeks to look at these last verses talking about us being ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, let's begin reading verse 17, where we looked at verse 17, but I want to read in connection with what we're going to be dealing with tonight. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now Paul said we are ambassadors for Christ, but what does that mean? An ambassador is simply an official messenger or representative of one nation or kingdom to some other people with a special errand. We have here in the United States, we have ambassadors to other countries, and they are basically a liaison that for our country in that other country. And in fact, the definition here of ambassador is very close to the New Testament word for apostle. We know an apostle is one who's sent out bearing the message of another, who acts by his authority. And that's also kind of what a missionary is. A missionary is one who's been sent out from one kingdom to reach the people of another with a specific message to deliver or specific task to perform. And, of course, we are missionaries too because we're sent from the kingdom of God to the kingdom of the world. Amen. I mean, that's the kingdom that we are going into. Now, God has always had his missionaries, and from Genesis 3, we find that he was the first of them as he went walking in the garden to find Adam and Eve, the two people who had sinned against him. Remember, they had sinned and they were hiding, and God went out looking for them. Since that day, God has been sounding out the call of Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And now he's wanting to do the same thing through each of us that name his name. You know, the Lord wants us to do the seeking. He came to seek and to save. He gave his life. And now he's no longer here to go reaching others. We are his. He indwells us to do that work. Amen. We go forth and do it in his name. Now, the majority of those who name the name of Christ use all kinds of excuses for not sharing their faith. You know, some folks claim, well, you know, I don't have any non-Christian friends. Oh, really? Yeah, you'd be surprised. Some say they don't have the gift of evangelism. You'll never find that you got to have the gift of evangelism, and only people with the gift of evangelism were called to evangelize. The gift of evangelism is a gift, but it's a special gift that was given to those that minister to in the local church. Now, some folks claim they don't have the time. We have the time for things that are important to us, though, don't we? And why don't we just admit that it's just not as important to us as it ought to be? Some say they're worried about what their friends and family will think. Now we're getting closer to the truth, right? It's more about us than it is about them. You know, we're afraid what somebody's going to think about us. Some folks say they don't know how to bring up the topic. We can talk about all kinds of things. All kinds of topics. Why can't we talk about what Jesus has done for us? You know, Simple, how Jesus came into your heart and life, you know, what He's doing in your heart and life even now, and how He can take and work in their lives. A lot of folks aren't sure what to say once the conversation has started. A lot of folks say they don't know enough. You know, if you know how you got saved, that's enough. Yeah, I think all of us know the basics of witnessing. Yeah, you got to get somebody lost, right? You got to show them they're a sinner. Show them their need for salvation. Show them what Christ did for them. So you got to show them what their sin's going to do to them if they don't trust Christ. How that they're going to die in their sin and go to hell. Christ died, took their death on the cross of Calvary. And by repentance and faith, they can come to know the Lord. Some folks claim that their faith is a private matter. Well, the Lord says it's not. Okay? We're to make a public profession of Him, and we are to share Him with others. Now, what God wants from each believer is for us to accept our calling as an ambassador, as His representative in this world, and that we quit making excuses and start doing what we've been called to do, and that is tell others about the life-changing person of Jesus Christ. So I want us to consider four characteristics that we must have so we can be the very best ambassador that we can be for Christ. I'm probably just going to deal with just one tonight due to the time limitations. That's why I said it's probably take maybe 2-3 weeks to finish up. But this very first one is being obsessed with the obvious, okay? But sometimes we need to be obsessed with the obvious. In order to be a good ambassador for Christ, we must personally know Christ. Is that a duh or not, you know? But a lot of people just gloss over that. There's a lot of folks who are in church that really don't know Christ, who are trying to be something that they're not. You know, we can't very well represent a king if we've never met him. We can't very well represent a country if you don't belong to that country, can you? You know, we belong. If you got to belong to the kingdom of God in order to represent the kingdom of God, your loyalties are all messed up if you're not a member of the kingdom of the Lord. Just imagine for a minute me driving out to Washington, D.C. to be an ambassador to the U.S. for the president of Mexico. Now, I've never met the president of Mexico. I've never been to Mexico. I can speak a little Spanish because I took 2 years of Spanish in high school. But it's very limited. Okay? I don't know a whole lot about Mexico. I do love Mexican food. Our favorite place to eat is La Napalera up there on Kingsley Avenue. That's about it when it comes to Mexico. Now, would I make a good representative of Mexico to the United States? I wouldn't. Because, you know, my loyalties really lie in America. See? This is my country. And so where you are a citizen, that's where your loyalties lie. And I think you get the picture. You know, some people go to church and they can talk the talk to a certain extent from having been around the church. You know, it's not about talking the talk. You know, they may look like Christians, may even act like Christians to a certain extent because they hang out with Christians. They may even convince a few people that they are Christians, but they'll never make a good representative for Christ because they don't belong to Christ. You got to belong to Him before you can make a good representative. Their kingdom is not the kingdom of God, but is the kingdom of the world. Paul said, right here in our text, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, it's just as plain as that. There are really only two choices. You either are in Christ or you're not, right? In Christ or not. It's really simple. You either know Him as your Savior or you don't. We entered this world without Christ. We enter in a matter of being spiritually dark. We're living in spiritual darkness, belonging to Satan's kingdom. We know his kingdom is a kingdom of sin and darkness. We're blinded to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 4 there, and verse number 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, we may go to church and hear the gospel and have Bibles in our homes, use a form of prayer, but until we are born again, we are without God. We're without Christ and are foreigners and strangers to God. A hungry man must take food offered to him to eat and live, right? A dying man must receive a sure cure. If there's a sure cure for what he's got and it's offered to him, he's got to take that cure or he's going to die, right? And so also, you can have Jesus Christ preached in your every mess, in every service that you go. It's in your hearing. You hear how that Christ died for your sin. He was buried, rose again the third day. He did that for you, to give you cleansing from your sin. You hear that. But unless you, by faith, personally repent, and lay hold on the salvation that Christ offers, you're going to die and go to hell. That's just plain and simple. You can get by in this world without a lot of things. You know, it's inconvenient to be without money, isn't it? We always like to have a little bit, don't we? It's miserable to be without health, and you really miss your health when it's gone, don't you? It's lonely to be without a friend, or maybe sometimes without some family. It's miserable to be without a reputation. But to be without Christ is the worst lack in all the world. Think about it. To be without Christ. Only hope is to be in Christ. Christ is the only person you can be in. You can be married to somebody. You can follow somebody. You can be in the presence of somebody. But Jesus is the only one that you can be in. We're to be in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, the Lord gave us a good illustration in Noah and his family being in the ark. Okay? The ark is a type of Christ. God had told Noah that he was going to judge the earth, and he told Noah there was safety in the ark. And he told Noah that if he wanted to be saved from the judgment that was going to come, he and his family have to get in the ark, right? And when that flood came, the only people that were saved were the ones inside the ark. Listen, the only ones that are going to be saved when the Lord comes back and when judgment comes are those that are in Christ. It's a beautiful picture of Christ. But they were safe in the ark there because God's the one that shut the door, and no one or nothing was going to open that door. You know, nobody else could get in, nobody else could get out, right? Now, we are in Christ in the same sense. God's promised a day of judgment. It's going to come soon. I believe it's going to come sooner than we think. But he's assured us that the only way to be saved is to be in Christ. But just like it was in the days of Noah, a lot of people scoffed and said, well, you know, it'll never happen. But it did. So probably went around you joking about, you know, we ain't seen no rain, Noah. You know, you talk about all this water, man, it's dry here. But then, the rains did come. 40 days and 40 nights. A lot of folk are saying today that Jesus isn't coming back. or that there'll be no day of judgment. I know it's been long, preachers have been preaching the second coming of Jesus all the way back to Paul. But listen, he is coming again. Paul was looking for him in his day. It's an imminent thing. It could happen at any moment. Paul was looking in his day, and we should be looking in our day. And we can tell by the things that we see in Scripture. We see some things that that didn't need to happen for the Lord to come back, but they would happen for other things that we see in Scripture, a fulfilled prophecy later on down the road. And we see as we look at Scripture and say, aha, yeah. The people before us didn't have that, but now we know how that's going to take place. Let's give you just for instance, I've used this illustration before, but the two witnesses, you know, how all the world's going to see. All those two witnesses that are going to be witnessing there in the book of Revelation. And it says the whole world sees. Can you imagine the time before satellite, TV, CNN, Fox News, all that kind of stuff? People would scoff and say, everybody can't see what's going on the other side of the world. Oh, yeah? I can see it right here. Yeah? We just carry it around with us, don't we? We do. But those are the kind of things I'm talking about. The more we see things that are making further sense as we look at Scripture and look at the world we live in, we know that we're getting closer. It just makes sense that we're getting closer to the Lord coming back. Some say that God's a God of love and He wouldn't send anybody to hell. But, you know, that's a fool talking right there. He ain't read his Bible and he don't know God. Listen, by faith you have to believe that Christ is the only one capable of saving you. And then you have to come and trust Him. Risk your soul with Him. Put your confidence in the only begotten Son of God. You have to give up on every other hope or shadow of hope that you have. Don't put any hope in yourself because there ain't none there, I can tell you. Don't go through life hoping that somehow we've got it all wrong. Well, preacher, I just don't think you see it quite clearly. You don't. I think you could be wrong about a few things. I'm sure I'm wrong about a few things, but I'm not wrong about salvation. Not wrong about that. Don't count on hell not being there. You need to consider Jesus, God's ark of safety, as you watch as the storm clouds of God's wrath are billowing up, and they are. We see God's wrath just kind of billowing up in this world in which we live. And you got to get in the ark by placing your faith and trust in Christ. What happens when you get in Christ through salvation? Well, you become a new creation, a new creature, like it says there in verse 17. At that moment when the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in you, old things are passed away and all things become new, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. In other words, He did all the necessary work. And Christ did the necessary work. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. God, the Father, and Jesus Christ did it all for us. Now, let's understand something here. When Paul says that old things are passed away, that's an immediate transaction that takes place. But what does it mean? What does it mean that old things are passed away? Listen, whatever sin dominated you before salvation, chances are you still had a leaning toward that way after you got saved. I mean, it doesn't just immediately go away, does it? You know, somebody that's had a problem with drinking, he drives by where alcohol is sold, and you know, every now and then he probably has a desire to pull in there and get one. Now, we may have learned to control some of those desires by God's grace, but the desire is still there because we're still in this old sinful flesh. You know what I'm talking about. We all battle the desires of the flesh. You may have learned to surrender to Christ, allowed Him to give you self-control, but those old sinful desires still war in our bodies. And if that weren't the case, then Paul was wasting his time writing to us in Romans chapter number 6 and Romans chapter number 8. You ought to go home and read it tonight. Because even Paul had a battle. And in fact, in Romans chapter number 7, he winds up saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Not that I was, but that I am. He said, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Of course, we know the answer. He gave the answer. Jesus Christ. So what does it mean when it says here in verse 17 that old things are passed away? Behold, all things are become new. Now, this is important because so many people are spending their days in agony, doubting their salvation because of some old things that are still there. And those old things nagging them keep them from having that assurance that they need of salvation. Listen, under sin, when we were without Christ, we had no right to heaven. Absolutely no right to heaven. We were a sinner, we were found guilty and condemned, and we were by nature an enemy of God. But listen, in Christ, in salvation, there was a legal transaction that took place in the courtroom of heaven. Paul said in Romans 5:1, he said, "Therefore, being justified by faith." That word justified is very important. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to be justified by faith means that when you are in Christ by faith, and that's the only way to be in Christ, by the way, is by faith. When you are in Christ by faith, you have been declared free from the penalty of sin. You're set free from all that goes with it. Jesus said in John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And that means, number one, when we were sentenced to die for our sin, Jesus was our sacrifice. He took our condemnation. Aren't you glad? The condemnation that belonged to me and you, we got what we deserved, we would still be condemned. But we got grace, didn't we? When we deserved to bear God's wrath for our sin, Jesus was our propitiation. Don't let that $50 word scare you. What that means, it means that He was the one who satisfied God by paying the penalty of our sin. He was our atonement. Okay? The picture is that of the sacrifice of that animal, the blood being put on the altar, and God saying, your sins are covered. When Jesus shed His blood, when we by faith have that applied to us, God says, your sins are covered. Your sins are covered. When we were separated from God by our sin, Jesus was our reconciliation. Look at verse number 18 there. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So we were separated from God, but Jesus was our reconciliation. When we were in bondage to sin, Jesus was our redemption. Ephesians 1:7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Now the old things, the condemnation, the wrath of God, the slave master in our life called sin, they don't have any hold on us anymore, do they? They don't. In Christ we have become new, and all of those things are of God. What do we have? We have a new home. Right? Heaven's our home. Yeah, our destination was hell. We live here now, but our destination was hell. But we have a new home in heaven awaiting us. We have a new king. So we were following the prince of this world, the devil. But now we have a new king. We got someone new who calls the shots, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a new nature. We have His divine nature now to help us to walk in ways that are pleasing to the Lord. Now see, God didn't clean up the old sinful nature. He didn't just wipe us off and give us a new start. He gave us a new life. He gave us His life. See, our new life is Christ's life. That resurrection life, resurrected to die no more. New life, His life, Christ's life. And with that new life, He gave us His nature, His divine nature. We have a new life and a new nature. Paul said in Ephesians 4:24, he told us that we were to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See, only God is in the creating business. Only God can create. People can say all they want to, that they can create. Brother Charles is not here tonight. I was going to use him for illustration. We'll use him even though he's not here. But Brother Charles can take wood and he can make beautiful pens out of that wood. He can go out to his shop and he does beautiful artistry work. But he doesn't create that. He just uses what God has already given him. Okay? God gave him the materials. God gave him the knowledge to be able to do it. He's got the tools because God allowed somebody to make the tools to do it. You see what I'm saying? He's not creating anything. He's doing some artwork. All he did was take what God had already given him and reshape it with his tools until it was better. Now, that's not what God did with us. He created a new man. A man that is created in God's likeness of righteousness and holiness. Let me ask tonight, do you know the Son of God? Has He performed His great work in you? Have you been born again? You said, Brother Jerry, it's a Wednesday night. Hey, listen, I got saved on a Wednesday night. I did. A Wednesday night. I'd been in church all my life. Have you been born again? Have you come to Christ in repentance and faith so that God might create in you a new man, created in His likeness? Listen, it may be that you have not been sharing your faith because you've never really known the Son of God. Could that be? I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. I'm trying to make you be assured of what you got. Don't let anybody take it away from you. Nobody can take it away from you. If you got something that can be taken away from you, you don't have God's salvation. Amen. Be assured of what you have. But if you've just been going through the motions, doing all that what good Christians do without really knowing Jesus at all, it won't work. If you're going to be the ambassador that God wants you to be, you must be born again. That's primary. So if you're not born again, why don't you get some help before you leave here tonight? You see me or my wife or somebody else here, we'll get you some help with that. Amen. Well, that's a good place to let off. And we'll come back next week, Lord willing, and we want to take a look at not only must personally know Christ, but secondly, we must know the heart of God. And we're going to see how that relates to what we're talking right here at being an ambassador for Christ. You got to know God's heart. And God's heartbeat is souls of men. That's His heartbeat. And His heartbeats be our heartbeat. All right. Let's pull our list back out. We'll pray. And we'll be dismissed tonight.